Dedicated to the survival of American democracy in an increasingly dangerous world, this is Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney, acted as Assistant Secretary of Defense for International Security Policy under President Ronald Reagan, founder and president of the Center for Security Policy in Washington, D.C., the go-to man for defense and foreign policy issues, joined by the greatest minds in the security policy business, the special forces in the war of ideas at Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.
Hello, folks. It's Jim Hansen from Black Five sitting in for Frank Gaffney, who is off keeping our electrical grid safe for democracy and from terrorism. We're talking this morning with Andy McCarthy. And Andy is a former federal prosecutor. Andy is also a contributing editor to National Review Online and author of the new book, Faithless Execution, Building the Political Case for Obama's Impeachment. Welcome, Andy.
Hi, Jim. How are you?
I am well, but the country is not, and that's why we need to chat. We just arraigned the guy we picked up over in Libya and brought him to the United States for trial. Now, there are so many things wrong with this entire concept. But during the arraignment, I heard something that blew my mind, and I just want to run it by you and make sure I understood it. When they sat him in front of the judge, this judge in D.C. said that he read through the pretrial packet, and then based on the information he was provided, decided at that point to keep him in custody. I mean, that means that there was actually a chance that this judge could have made the opposite decision and let him go free. Is that the way this actually worked?
Well, there is a requirement when you bring someone into the civilian criminal justice system that at his first appearance, which is the usually a presentment on a criminal complaint, the court has to consider and set bail. And that's because when you bring someone into the criminal justice system, the government at least takes the position that the person is entitled to the rights of an American citizen. That's the due process that they're giving them. And under our Constitution and under the rules that apply, that means you're entitled to reasonable bail unless you can be detained under the law. So it can't be just assumed that he would be detained, at least for purposes of the litigation. Now, let me be more complete about how this works. Let's say you have somebody who is an illegal alien who is being detained. That would be shocking, I know.
Yeah, let free, more likely.
Right. But let's say you had an illegal alien who had never been allowed to be free in the country and was being detained, and you found out that he committed a charge beyond the illegal immigration that he's being detained on. If the court would be obliged to set bail for purposes of the case, and if the court, for whatever reason, decided that bail ought to be set, either because the person was not a danger to the community or because the risk of flight was minimal, that wouldn't mean the person would be freed to walk the streets. He would still be detained under immigration charges. Now, the problem with this guy is we were detaining him as an enemy combatant, or if we were, then he would have no right to be released. But it seems we're not detaining him as an enemy combatant. He's being detained as a criminal defendant. So had the judge made this ruling, I don't think it means the guy could have been released, but it would have led to a string of other problems.
I mean, we get the wrong judge. And this could have turned into even a bigger goat rope than it is currently.
Yeah, well, it's not impossible to get the wrong judge either. I mean, this is just the first stage of the proceeding. As I understand it, the case still has to be spun out to a judge, and, you know, then the fun really begins.
What a complete mess. Well, again, I think all this speaks or to the reasoning that lawfare is not the way to deal with terrorism. And unfortunately, our current regime does not agree with that, and they're proving why on a daily basis. Let's talk about some of the other high crimes and misdemeanors, starting at the top and working their way down. Now, currently, the Speaker of the House is threatening to sue the president for all of the various lawlessness, which you detail on a regular basis. You've said that's a horrible idea, and I think obviously, you know, in the separation of powers, it seems to be. But the only alternative is laid out as impeachment of the president or some of his minions. Now, if politically going after Obama is a bad idea, who do you think we've got a good case against?
Well, let's back up for a second. There are two alternatives that Congress has, not just one. One is the impeachment power. You're quite correct about that, and it's not limited to the president. Any officer of the United States, as it says in the Constitution, can be impeached, which means any high official of the executive branch and even any federal judge. We've had impeachments of judges in our history as well. But the main remedy that the framers expected would be used by Congress to rein in executive excess is the power of the purse. You know, if you defund the means that the executive branch has to commit misconduct, it can't commit misconduct. And like, for example, remember we were all afraid that they were going to take these enemy combatants at Gitmo and bring them into the United States. Congress cut off the money. They said that there is no money available to the executive branch to bring enemy combatants into the United States, so they can't do it. They don't have the funds for it. That's the sort of thing that Congress could be doing and should be doing, but hasn't been doing. So that's a big means that they have. Why, you know, for example, we have a Department of Homeland Security that doesn't enforce the immigration laws. Why are we spending billions of dollars on the budget for these immigration agencies that don't enforce the law?
Don't we run into the problem of then the Republicans are shutting down the government again, and they're using, you know, political battles to make us less secure? Can they target that well enough to fight that perception and actually make a difference?
Yeah, I think they could, although you have to worry if the chief strategist thinks that the way to go here is to file a lawsuit, then you have to wonder about the competence that they have to make an argument like that. And, you know, it's quite true that the one time that they actually tried to use their power of the purse, Ted Cruz, Mike Lee, and a bunch of House Republicans or House conservatives who tried to defund Obamacare were almost run out of Washington by their own party. You know, it was their own guys who were doing it to them. So obviously they'd have to have a united front, and unfortunately they don't. But what you're talking about, we're talking about the difference here between what could be done legally and what can be accomplished when you don't have particularly good leadership, which is the straits the Republicans find themselves in. I saw that, the recent economic downturn was blamed by the Obama administration. You know, this near, 2.9% contraction in the economy was blamed by the administration on the weather. I'm waiting to see if Boehner's going to file a lawsuit against the weather.
I blame Al Gore. I mean, come on, if we can't blame Al Gore.
Well, it's about as effective as suing the president would be.
Okay, but throw me a bone. How about any of the president's minions? Can we get Holder?
Yeah, sure. You could get Holder. You could look, I think I would start with the IRS if I were in Congress, because, you know, the problem with impeaching the president is while his policies are terribly unpopular, he personally is not as unpopular as his policies.
But we all hate the IRS.
Right. It's a very intensely unpopular agency, and my attitude is, impeach anybody who's been involved in either the original misconduct or the cover-up, throw the case into the Senate, and if the Democrats want to defend the IRS against the American people, then I say let them do it.
Oh, so that smirking guy Koskinen, who Paul Ryan and Trey Gowdy eviscerated, we could go for him? Has he stepped over the line enough we could take a shot at him?
Yeah, well, I think that if you go through his testimony, at many points it seems to me that it was misleading. And the other thing I would note is, and this is a Judicial Watch lawsuit, there's a story in the Washington Examiner a day or two ago that said when the IRS represented to the court that it was merrily making discovery and disclosures to Judicial Watch in a lawsuit, they conveniently left out the fact that they had lost these Lois Lerner emails. So I think they may very well have made misstatements to the federal court in that case as well.
So there you go. The place to act if you want to, because there's plenty of lawlessness going on, but I think the problem is you create a political issue out of what's actually a separation of powers issue by going after the wrong one.
Yeah, well, the other thing, Jim, is that there's a certain paralysis and explosiveness that attends the word impeachment. And I think if we dusted it off and used it against some of these lower officials, it would lose that, and we could use it. It would become what the framers wanted it to be, which was a serious remedy against executive lawlessness.
And I don't expect the Republicans to get their ducks in a line enough on the, well, who knows? We got an election coming up. We may actually see a Senate majority given the way things are going. Do you think there's a play to be made between now and then? I mean, Boehner's lawsuit seems like a political attempt to influence things. Do you think that's what he's using it for?
You know, I feel like I was in a scary place if I thought I could read Boehner's mind. I don't know what he's doing. If he thinks what he's doing is ginning up the base, I think it's going to have the opposite effect, because it's about as feckless a response to what's going on as you can imagine. So if the intention was to get people stirred up, I don't think he got them stirred up exactly the way he intended.
Well, unfortunately, I don't have any more confidence in him as a leader than you seem to, and that's a sad state for the opposition.
He's good for the plaintiff's lawyers, though.
There you go. Well, folks, we've been talking with Andy McCarthy. Andy is a contributing editor to National Review Online and author of the new book, Faithless Execution, Building the Political Case for Obama's Impeachment. This is Jim Hansen from Black Five sitting in for Frank and doing some Secure Freedom Radio. We will be back with my good friend Brad Patty to advocate for a free Kurdistan.
Visit us at facebook.com/securefreedom with Frank Gaffney.